Welcome to another episode of Gore Buddies. Anthony Gallo, myself, Pete Hoffman, and we're being joined right now by Ryan Turek. I had a pleasure speaking to you a little while ago, a few months ago, and now we have you on again, part of Blumhouse. Tell me about the big promotion you guys are doing, and tell me about this bringing back some amazing films back into the AMC theaters.
Yeah. I mean, like last time we talked, I think it was for Halfway to Halloween, rolled out a bunch of films into theaters. Then we're no longer halfway to Halloween. We're on top of Halloween now. So yeah, for the 2024 edition of Blumfest, we decided to carve out 6 weeks in October, or I should say September into October, and exhume some of our older titles that fans love, and put them back on the big screen for people who might have missed them in their first run, or just want to revisit them. So it's exciting. We've got, you know, starting September 25th, kicks off Paranormal Activity. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I mean, Paranormal Activity was like the kind of the movie that put Blumhouse on the map. Like, Blum had produced other movies. Like, he did The Tooth Fairy with The Rock, did a couple other movies. But, you know, he's a dyed-in-the-wool, true horror fan, loves scary movies. You know, Paranormal Activity came out and really put, just kind of made Blumhouse what it is. And that was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So kick the fest off with the 15th anniversary of Paranormal Activity, one night only run of Paranormal, followed in the subsequent weeks with Lights Out, Insidious Chapter 2, Happy Death Day, Black Phone, and Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right. Awesome lineup. And to be honest, you talk about Paranormal Activity, I really feel like that was a jumping off point for, you know, the theaters at the time were kind of down, and it kind of reinvigorated horror as a genre. So it's awesome that we get to do this. I'm fired up. I'm definitely going to go see it again. My girlfriend hates horror movies. My birthday's in October, so it's an excuse to force her to come with me. So we'll be, she's never seen it. So we'll be seeing that.
That's good. When's your birthday?
October 15th. So right smack dab in the middle of the month.
Yeah,
the best month, to be honest.
That's awesome. Well, you get Happy Death Day that comes out the day after that.
Right? Okay. Like,
celebrate your birthday and then go see Happy Death Day.
Ryan, let me ask you a question. Like, are you, because I love, I don't know about you. You tell me if you like these, like, you know, some of these type of specialty movie theaters where during the film or before the film, they kind of put these old vintage, like, you know, trailers, and they have some cool features going on before the film. Are you guys incorporating that at all into these films at all? Because again, you're talking about some amazing films that have a lot of cool, you know, cult following and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, these have moments that fans can just latch into. Do you have anything leading up into these movies at all?
Yeah. Fans should definitely expect to see something like a little like pre-roll before the movie comes out. There'll be like special messages from, you know, hopefully cast and crew. You're definitely going to see Jason providing some special messages to the audience. And then like little teases here and there. We won't get into too much. We want things to be surprise. But, you know, I know one of the activations they're doing is like you can enter to win one of the Blumhouse event poster. That'll be one of the, you know, one of the things you could try to win. And I know that they're discounting the tickets too, like AMC. Our collaboration with AMC is as such as that, like if you go to the website amctheaters.com, then go to the events page, you'll see like all the theaters and you'll see the ticket pricing and stuff like that. So there's like incentive across the board to get out, away from streaming, go see some scary movies in the theaters.
Love it. Now, Ryan, let me ask you a question here. You have an amazing roster that's going to be here for the next 6 weeks. But what else are for fans, you know, with Blumhouse? Because you guys just make so many amazing films. Which project are you guys working on? Again, Ryan Turek, you know, Vice President of Feature Film Development for Blumhouse. Which is the next big project for you that you are super excited about, whether it's secretive and you want to break a secret with us? It's all good. what do you got?
No secret. Yeah, I can't. I'm afraid I've been locked up from breaking any news, but I can say that we have Black Phone 2 coming out next year. And I will say that I made a recent trip to Toronto to get ready to shoot that. I'll be going back up there soon, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Scott Derrickson's got a vision for this movie that is truly, truly terrifying. So that's the next one in production. But in terms of release, we've got the Wolfman. I'm sure you've seen the teaser for the Wolfman already. So
very cool.
It's pretty cool.
Very exciting. You guys have had an eventful last 2 months. I mean, on film and on TV, even in the documentaries, which I actually didn't even realize that you guys did Worst Ex Ever.
Honestly, worst roommate ever, worst ex.
I didn't know that. I love Worst Roommate. I'm not a big true crime guy, but those I like. Worst Ex Ever, the first episode is horrifying. But also, you guys just dropped Speak No Evil, which I think is amazing. And it's a very good, adaption that is good for it takes pieces from the original, but it's also stayed very fresh. How proud of you guys of that? I mean, it was really great. And I, scared the crap out of my girlfriend watching it because, I didn't tell her anything about it, but an amazing movie. How's the reception been to that and everything?
Oh, thanks. We really appreciate that, man. I mean, like a lot of hard work went into that. Bea Sequeira, who's one of our executives over here, she was boots on the ground producing that and oversaw that from start to finish. Put in a lot of hard work working with director James Watkins and James McAvoy and Scoop McNairy and so on. And it's like, listen, I mean, like we've seen our fair share of like foreign films adapted to American remakes. You can name them like The Grudge and The Vanishing, even deep cuts like The Lift, which is a scary elevator movie that they adapted. So there's like already a lot of pressure to remake it, but Watkins, the movie was in the right hands. This guy did a terrific film called Eden Lake. I don't know if you've ever seen Eden Lake.
Yes, I just told Gallo to see that.
That'll
tear you up. I mean, like that movie is brutal. So it, he proved to be the right director to take this on. And the original film is, devastating.
Yes,
so,
and it captures all of that, but also kept it fresh. Because, like, I guess that's my next question: is how hard is it? That movie is not that old. I guess 2-3 years old to adapt something so close to its original air date.
I mean, like, it's a film that came out in limited release. I think it's safe to jump in as long as you're bringing something new to the party, and that's what Watkins did. And also the performances across the board were just incredible. So we're very happy with the reception to it. I hear from a lot of friends and colleagues that it's like, kind of like top five Blumhouse, material, which is really cool to hear. But it doesn't pull any punches. I remember sitting in one of the first screenings and the audiences were just like screaming at the screen, in that third act. So very happy with it.
Now, Ryan, you said that, you want to do something different. You could take something that, even if it's pretty new, like you said, Speak No Evil is maybe 2-3 years old, the original release date, and you've created because you've added new stuff to it. But as a whole, I think we've had this conversation before. Are you guys always looking for original material? Are you looking for, things that you're like, we can add to that film? Because that's the one thing about horror movies, this genre as a whole, it's still very creative, and there's always, even if it is a remake, it does feel fresh and new.
I mean, like when we choose stuff, it's like what best represents the company, what best represents the brand, the Blumhouse brand, and what kind of horror stories do we have an obligation to tell that kind of fit within our body of work. I mean, we're the company that did Get Out, but we also did the Halloween trilogy, and we did Happy Death Day. So we just look for movies that are fun and grounded and edgy and take you on a theatrical experience. We jump into remakes or IP, it's like, what is the additive value? Like, if we don't have anything new to add to it, then what's the point of doing it? So we really try to find ways to obviously get us excited, get the filmmaker excited, but also bring something new to the table. I remember really, really early on, and this isn't a defense of it, but listen, like, film is an interesting art form, because I remember there was an interview with Gus Van Sant when he was remaking Psycho, And when I was in film school when that came out, I was just like, what is this? A remaking a classic. I was like, you know, and he, you know, depending on what, how you feel about this, but I, it just put things into perspective a little bit differently for me, which was like, he's like, they do different versions of Broadway shows all the time and no one gets up in arms about it. So like, you know, they'll do a new Les Mis or something. And he's like, film can be that same art medium where it's like, I want to do something and bring something new to the table. And he felt like he was passionate about it. So who are we to stop someone's passion or an artist's passion from doing something? But we can go all, night over some pizza and beers talking about like remakes and, right, and the value of certain horror films.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I see you're rocking the Ghost shirt, and I know, you know, they're a very interesting band, and I'm a musician, yeah, too, and I love music. And it's funny, though, you could see the different levels. Like, sometimes musicians and bands will go and do a remake of a song. It's like, you did the same thing that, yeah, the original artist did. You didn't change, yeah, it up. I want to hear your version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Question about how you pick your, you know, or how you sift through your filmmakers, your writers, your directors, and stuff like that, because I do feel like, you guys, the material you put out, it's perfect. Like, I don't sit there, just the way that I visually watch it, the way that I take it all in, I'm always engaged. How tough is it for you guys to go out there and find, you know, specific, obviously if someone's written something that's genius, you know it's going to be easy to take on, but how is, yeah, it to get that director, that filmmaker that's like, you're going to put this project together, make it so engaging, so riveting for horror fans?
Yeah, listen, it boils down to passion and experience. Yeah, that's really what, I mean, like, so many of our films get their start with a director coming to us and saying, I want to do this movie. And obviously we look at what they've done in the past and we survey their, or just kind of explore their passion. But we, you know, it really is about perspective. It's about their worldview. It's about what they're, again, it comes back to who's bringing something cool to the party. And yeah, it's like, if their passion is apparent and their experience is great and we feel confident in them delivering a truly scary movie, then we're signing up. You know, it really is, you know, because that's how horror progresses. That's how, like, horror stories progress, is just like someone's unique perspective on a different subgenre or any story.
Right.
You know, what's going to make James Wan's spooky movies, you know, different from Scott Derrickson's ghost stories is their own worldview. Like, imagine James Wan doing Black Phone, it would be very different. Imagine Scott Derrickson maybe doing Insidious, it'd be very different, you know? So that's the stuff that we get excited about, and that's what we listen to in our conversations with filmmakers.
So, you know, like I said, you guys have had a awesome few months. You just had the release of Cabin in the Woods, the show. How, yeah, and for our listeners, we actually just did an episode because Hoff has just watched Creep. Creep 1 and Creep 2.
Dude, amazing.
I don't know if you guys are involved with it, but how awesome is it that they are now getting their own spin-off series to those two very underrated films?
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, like, I think that, you know, with the Creep, I can't speak too much of to Cabin in the Woods. We have a very good television team that spearheads all, you know, Worst Roommate Ever, right, Worst Ex Ever, upcoming Scarpetta, and other shows like that. With Creep, I mean, listen, if Duplass and Patrick Bryce feel like they have more crazy stories in them, then have at it. Like, it's super exciting. I still think about the first Creep when, like, Duplass puts the wolf mask on and does a little dance.
Incredible.
I mean, like, I remember watching that movie for the first time at a festival, and I was like, this is deeply unhinged.
And I've been telling him for a while to watch it. He finally got to it. He was like, awesome.
They were both unbelievable. And the second one was just as good, and you're just like, I need more. So I'm very happy that you guys are getting more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, not just because I want to get this question, and Hoff knows where I'm going with this. This is a very self-serving question. Night, yeah, Swim. The main character, yeah, is I am a St. John's alum, and it was very, okay, hilarious to see. I don't even know if you could answer this. Where that inspiration come to make him a ex-St. John's baseball player? Very funny to me, and it just stuck out. No one else in the world probably that stuck out to but myself.
I don't know. I think, you know, that was just something that was part of the, you know, that was part of the story that Bryce McGuire wanted to tell, the little details, you know. You know, when we, when I, from my point of view, when I look at something in the script like that, I'm like, that's a great texture.
Yes.
Like, that's a great character texture. What we respond to on a much macro level is, here's a baseball player who can no longer play mm-hmm. and has a deep need to get back in the game. And, the, you know, this pool offers him a Faustian bargain of like, I'll make you better. You can get back in the game, you know? But yeah, that was super fun. And Wyatt Russell, I mean, like, man, he stepped up to the plate.
It was awesome.
And very pun intended to take on that role. So, I mean, there was no practice necessary. He had a blast on the field when we were doing that montage of just him hitting balls out of the park.
Ryan, we were talking off air about, Shohei Ohtani putting up a 51-51 spot right now mm-hmm. in baseball. Clearly, it sounds like you're a Dodgers homer. But I can't wait for the Mets and the Dodgers to face it in the NLCS. It'll be amazing.
I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm ready for it.
But listen, Ryan, is there an option for another soon to be like sport movie? Like, I'm trying to think of a sport horror movie, like Night Swim, had its relation to it, but I'm trying to think of like another sport horror film that you guys put together or anybody's put together. I mean, you could say The Fan maybe, but not really
Fan's a good example. De Niro, was it Wesley Snipes and De Niro?
Wesley Snipes and De Niro.
I guess it is a horror. Yeah.
It's a horror.
I just remember the trailer. Doesn't he say like, I'm serious as a heart attack, Bobby? Yeah. Like, I remember it was like something like that.
Yeah.
I just remember like, cause when I lived in Jersey City, like I would go to the Newport Mall and go see movies all the time there. And that, I remember that trailer played at every movie I was sneaking into. That's a good question. I don't know. Like you always find like players or the world of sports like as kind of background, but in the foreground, there hasn't been one in a while.
Maybe we need a new one.
We need something new.
Ryan, Anthony, and I, Mr. Gallo, and I will gladly help, and in any way possible, we'll be creative with those ideas. I know that you gotta run, Gallo. You got any more questions for Mr.
One little question, just because I know during Blumfest, Five Nights at Freddy, I was at Comic-Con last year when they teased it. My brother is, I was a little bit too old to play the games. My brother was a big gamer for that generation, and he was wondering, because I told him, like, hey, they're going to be showing this, we should go see it again. Will we get any teasers? Because I know the second one is in production, correct? Or has been announced?
Yeah, we're gearing up. It's been announced.
So with anything, any little tidbits?
I'm giving your audience my lips are sealed. I think there's snipers hanging out in the house just in case I say something.
Well, listen, Ryan. We won't beg you too much for too much secret information, but we do beg that next time you're here, because you said you were Jersey City, so you're local.
I come out to New York. Yeah, dude, often. I'll have to go hit you guys up.
Please, I would love to have. Could we watch a movie together? I swear to God.
Sure.
I just want to watch a movie with you. I mean, we could go for dinner and beers too, but I want to watch a movie with you because I want to see how you react. We need to do
a special Gore Buddies watch along.
It's usually laughter. It's usually laughing. Someone will get their head face split in two, and I'm howling. So
you know what? I've gotten pissed at that before, where I'm sitting there in a movie where, like, a Final Destination. I thought some of the best opening scenes in the world were Final Destination opens, just because of how like creative they are and all that stuff. And I have my friend sitting there laughing at it. I go, dude, this is like a serious open right now. Like, people are dying, and you're laughing. But okay, if Ryan Turek's laughing, then I give it a okay.
It's my reaction to just seeing pure death on screen. You know? And that's why a lot of my friends who are not horror fans, they sort of like, when I used to go to journalist screenings or preview screenings and stuff, friends would sit around me because they didn't like horror movies. But if they knew I was there enjoying it and laughing, it just kind of, It tempered their anxiety a little bit. So, yeah.
Well,
I'll definitely let you guys know next time I'm in New York.
Listen, September 25th, AMC Movie Theaters, 15th anniversary screening of Paranormal Activity. And then you got a 6-week festival going on. Paranormal Activity, Lights Out, Insidious Chapter 2, Happy Death Day, Black Phone, Five Nights at Freddy's. Ryan Turek, again, Vice President of Feature Film Development for Blumhouse. thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. You're the man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much,
Always
Ryan.
Good talking to you guys. Always good talking to you. And I won't be, don't be too sad when the Dodgers beat you guys.
Ryan.
Can't wait for my messages on Instagram to start coming in on that one.
Oh, dude, we're coming after you, my friend. Get ready. Ryan, honestly, you're the man. And it's a pleasure, honor to talk to you, man. And really, when you come back to town, I'll take you out, whatever it is, dude. I want to watch
you. Know.
We want to hang, all right, man?
All right. Sounds good, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Anthony, good to meet you. Yeah, talk to you soon.
Nice meeting you too, sir.
Bye.